Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome to Sports Day. Great to have your company. 133-882, and it's been a big news day. There's so much going on. The AFL-WCBA deal has been done. Their season has been announced. So many changes when it comes to the AFL. Maybe a couple of young West Coast Eagles to make their debuts. We'll find out. At the moment, it's just a squad, but we will get into that. French Open qualifying continues tonight. The Australian Swimming Championships are still underway. We've got a lot more happening when it comes to the PGA Championship teeing off later on tonight. And joining me to talk about all of that and more is Mark Rennings. Welcome, Skate.
G'day, Carl. Great to be with you on this Thursday night. And to our listeners, hope you're having a great week. And look, we're looking forward to a big round of footy coming our way. And of course, it comes off the back of that announcement, as you say, with the new pay structure for AFLW women's teams. Of course, 71,000 will be the top tier. Limited number of players per club on that 71,935 basis. But the lowest range or the minimum wage goes from about 20,000 to 39,000. So that is just part of what's going to transpire with the men down the track. And off the back of that, I think you'll find in the next 24 to 48 hours, Carl, there'll be an announcement by the AFL with regards to the grand final time. Moving, I think, from, traditional 2:30 Melbourne time in days before COVID.
Lock it in.
To a 4:30 Melbourne time. And bear in mind, The match started here in Perth last year at 5:15 from memory. It was 6:30 Eastern Standard Time the year before at the Gabba. But I get the feeling that more and more likely twilight footy. And let me tell you exactly why. Because TV numbers say it all. Last year, 3.9 million people nationally watched the game between Melbourne and the Bulldogs. That's the biggest number since 2016 when the Bulldogs faced off against Sydney, a day game, of course, at the MCG. So numbers talk. We know the TV rights deal is on the brink of going exploding, actually, with Paramount or those American giants coming into the picture. So be prepared for big pay rises for players. We know the women are in that basket already, and of course TV ratings will mean that the broadcast rights I think will even go north from where they are now.
Well, it was unique though last year, and let's face it, the MCG has nothing on Optus Stadium with what it can do in twilight or night, and the light show that can be put on at the stadium here in Western Australia is vastly different. So I'll be intrigued to see how it goes, but I agree with you. I think that there's no doubt. That was locked in stone, I reckon, some weeks ago. Just back to the AFLW season. So it begins on the last weekend of August, and there'll be a pre-finals AFL bye, of course. The women's game will finish in November. We've got the four new teams that are going to be introduced. So Essendon, Hawthorn, Port Adelaide and Sydney. List sizes at each club will remain at 30. And it means that there's a 94% pay rise. That's significant for the girls, and it just means that they're taking giant strides to try and catch up to, say, some of the other sports here in this country. 133-882 if you'd like to join in on that. Just some of the other news headlines, thanks to Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand, Skeet. Today we have had teams come out, but last night, and I know that you and I were pretty much done and dusted by the time it all happened, but Shayna Jack, great to see her back. 100 freestyle, 2-year doping ban that she copped. Some said that it was unfair, but back doing her stuff, and she's made the team, which is fantastic news.
Yeah, it's terrific for her, and the emotions overflowed when she was given the news or knew that she'd actually qualified. So that's outstanding for her. And what about pop star Cody Simpson? He's qualified for the Comm Games and the World Championships and the Butterfly, so well done to him. Fantastic performance, and I had seen a piece on him during a story on 60 Minutes, but I thought, well, for him to make the team will take something extraordinary, but he has worked his backside off, so congratulations to him making the team and probably silencing a couple of those critics out there as well.
Now, what was really hot for us last night, thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's taste of the Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb, is community footy. And we had a really passionate call from Susan. Her son doesn't go to a private school, and she was concerned about why her son's team has to only play with 15 per side. You have been able to arrange Troy Kirkham, who's going to have a yak to us tonight from the commission?
Absolutely. And I said, Troy, you can give me the information, or you can speak with a lot more knowledge and background about what the reasons are behind the numbers game in community footy. And look, it's a passionate subject. We know that, Carl. I don't think I've heard a more passionate person than Susan last night. And that's fair enough. Parents are like that. But I suppose when you hear from those who've done the research and are in a football capacity full time as to the reasons, it gives it a bit more clarity and understanding. So looking forward to hearing from Troy Kirkham, who, by the way, has just finishing up with an Auskick little special event happening at Optus Stadium late this afternoon with Josh Kennedy and some kids who've been through some tough times and raising some awareness. It's a fantastic initiative that's happened through Auskick and a little superhero afternoon out here at Optus Stadium.
We've got a big show coming your way tonight. We have free agency starting tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Western Standard Time. Liam Santa Maria is someone who knows a lot more about it than Skeet and I. He will join us after 7 o'clock tonight. Jake Florenka will join us in our waffle here on Thursday, normally on a Wednesday, but we were so packed yesterday we had to move it over. But Jake's had just an amazing last few weeks. He's played for West Coast. He's played for WA against South Australia, where he played really well. What we do know is that he has been allowed, I believe, Skeet, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but he has been allowed to nominate for the mid-season draft, which is only a couple of weeks away now.
Yeah, he's one of eight players who've been given that dispensation. Two other WA-based players, Wade Dirksen, who, by the way, I've seen him play one game for Peel Thunder against West Perth. Looks a really promising type, I believe, originally from the Northern Territory, if my memory serves me correctly. And Zach Strom, who's well-known South Fremantle teammate of Jacob, and that's an outstanding chance for him. He's a player that it's really fascinating why he hasn't gone prior to this, because he can play pinch hit the ruck, on a wing, go forward, go back, but still hasn't got that chance at AFL level. So let's see where Zach ends up in the mid-season draft. Hopefully there's a suitor for him.
Now, there's so much to play out in the next couple of days as to what our two AFL teams look like. But into the squad, Meek, Tabana, Walters and Switkowski for Frio. For Collingwood, Ginevan, Elliott, who hasn't played for quite some time, Mason Cox, Nathan Murphy, Reef McInnes, Scott Pendlebury after being ill last week, and Trey Rusko, Begg, Brown, McRae and Magin go out, who was injured on the weekend. And for the Giants, gee, I'll tell you what, they've made some change too under their new coach when it comes to Mark McVay, Skeet. There's a fair few. They've got more change than West Coast, which is unbelievable.
I'll go through Stein, Peatling, Flynn, Sproul, Brune, Faze on debut, Jesse Hogan and Jacob Weir is another debutant. The other name that's worth mentioning for the Giants is Jared Brander up against his old club. So that's fascinating. And on my AFL app, and I looked at this an hour or so ago and got quite excited because it said here, Rhett Bazzo debut, Zane True debut, which it still says, Brady Hoff, Luke Shuey, Jack Williams and Andrew Gaff. Now, given it's a Sunday game, those squads still have to be trimmed. So they are not guaranteed for a debut, but they are pretty close, I'd imagine, Carl, given the way the Eagles are heading with trying to have a look at some of these young players before too long. Bear in mind, Bazzo and True have played, I think, a couple of games back in the WAFL. Hoff has played, come back and played a bit of footy with West Coast, but not a lot in the local waffle competition. But the big question is, how fit are Shuey and Gaff? Soft tissue, they've got through training, but they will not be risked at all against a Giants side that I think's not vulnerable, but I don't think the Eagles get pumped as much as what they... some fans are thinking on the weekend, because the Giants are just going.
All right. We have to get to Muzza just ahead of the break, and then we'll get to Troy Kirkham from the WAFC. G'day, Muzz.
Yeah, good evening, boys. Great show as usual. Look, I want to touch on something that BH spoke about yesterday morning with Two Dogs. You got a lot of these guys running the AFL. Two Dogs Bartlett. That's okay. What Bunny calls him.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of these guys that run the AFL, they've never played footy. Half of them got no idea.
Hang on. Who are you having a crack at here, Muzz? Come on.
Some of the ones that run the AFL commission work there.
There's a lot of them that are on the football commission that have played football. So I'll correct you.
Some
there,
have, Carl, yes. Yeah, some
a
have,
lot.
Like,
no,
like
a
probably
lot on
Brad Scott. Yeah.
If you look at the football commission, then there is a number of individuals on the Football Commission that have played football. And so any of the change that is made from the AFL executive has to go through the West Australian Football... the Australian Football Commission. So, yeah, there's a number of individuals on there. But anyway, keep going. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, like, it's all right, mate. I mean, it's good to debate the point. You know, I might not know about everything, but you know, from what I've heard, from what Brad was talking about yesterday and whatnot, and a lot of these, I'll probably say at least, say buffoons or mung beans, whatever you want to call them, mate. Some of them have got no idea that get involved in the game. Some of the administrators inside of the AFL and whatever, that got no idea. I'm going to stuff the game up, keep changing the rules, and like, they want to change it to a tie-up grand final. Let's just do a poll, get it done that way while people go to the game, and do it that way, make it fair and square, not just what the channel stations want to do, like 7, 9, 10, whatever it might be. Let the fans vote. We are the people that go to the game and watch it, that bring money through the gate, and that's why you get the revenue with the TV stations, that kind of stuff, I guess. So let us all decide and have our say, not just let some dictators or whatever make the changes to suit what they want for the TV rights. Now, we go to the game, we pay our money, your hard-earned. Let us decide, you know, make it fair and stop changing rules all the time. Like the stand the mark rule, that should go. That's the most stupid rule I've ever seen in football in my life. It's ridiculous.
Okay. You know?
But anyway, I've had my say. Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Marza. Now, just very briefly, the gentleman running the AFL at the moment, in Richard Goyder, the chairman of the commission, I think he played a fair bit of amateur footy from memory, Carl. Anyway, that's by the by. From a business acumen point of view, his roles with Wesfarmers, Qantas, I mean, he's as good as they come in terms of running an organisation such as that. So let's put that on the table.
He was a director at Freo.
Yes.
Okay. And he played amateur footy at university and Old Scotch. I mean, you don't have to play AFL footy. Gillon McLachlan played
Amos.
Football.
He was big
right?
Amos, yep.
So you don't have to make it to the AFL to be a great executive in the game and direct the game and help the game and prosper the game, which you must say the business of football has been an outstanding success, Skeet.
Absolutely. And just,
hasn't it?
But Muzzle, I understand his frustration with the stand rule. That's questionable. Yeah, there's lots of people on that same boat. The grand final... Well, unfortunately for some, it does come down to finances, and there's no question that if you go to a broadcaster and say you can broadcast this game at 4:30, for instance, Eastern Standard Time this year, you will get more eyeballs than you would at 2:30. So the finances have been whacked over the last couple of years. I'm almost certain the broadcasters will get their way this time and get that twilight / grand final. And can I be honest with you? Who cares? It's an extra 2 hours later in the day. I don't think it makes... a difference at all, really. I mean, Carolyn Wilson and those who think it has to be at 2:30 full stop on a Saturday afternoon, I mean, traditions have changed. There are no longer five or six games on a Saturday afternoon. And from an economics point of view, it makes sense.
Show me the money, baby. That's what it's all about. Back soon, 133-882, if you'd like to join us. We are more than happy to take your calls. 133-882. After the break, Troy Kirkham will join us from the West Australian Footy Commission.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels car of the year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Just updating sport. If you're selling or renting, century21.com.au tonight. As we finish, actually, they'll get underway in the USPGA Championship at Tulsa in USA, where you got the most expensive beer, a $12 million tournament. 8 Aussies will tee off, including Minwoo. Well, it's not funny, Skeet.
Well, we're not paying for it.
$27 for a Stella Artois.
I reckon
Australia.
I paid about $15 or $18 in Singapore one time, but yeah, that's an expensive sip.
Yeah. I've paid $14 for a Corona in Singapore at Santosa Island when I went to that. There's a theme park there. I went to the theme park and anyway.
Hang on, before we do that, it's a bit of champagne football. Speaking of that, not quite, but it's the NRL. 17 minutes to go before half time. It's Newcastle Knights 6 leading the Brisbane Broncos 0 as part of our sports update. Selling or renting, century21.com.au.
Beautiful. Now, let's get to our first guest of the night, Troy Kirkham. I know he's been busy tonight, but with the number of calls that we had last night, in fact, we've had a few over the last few weeks around junior sport and rules and regulations and different complaints. And last night, we had Susan, who spoke about her own son, who doesn't go to a private school, who... she feels doesn't get the same sort of treatment as what these private schools do because they can play 8-a-side and they can play from year 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The year 10s are allowed to play in the first 18, all of that sort of stuff. Troy Kirkham joins us from the West Australian Footy Commission. G'day, Troy.
Hey, Carl. Hi, Skeet.
Susan last night was complaining about her son, which she thinks is discrimination, around them only being allowed to play with 15 aside. Can you just talk us through why and how this all works?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we start junior footy at the age of, or year three, students come out of AusKick and they move into to year three football, we've got 15 aside, and we have those modifications in place because we know that it makes a significant difference in their long-term development of them as a footballer. When they move into that sort of younger youth age group, we maintain the 15 aside as well through that younger youth age group. And then once they get to year 11 and 12, then they start playing 18 aside football. What we know from all the research that we've done, looking at our game here, looking at the game nationally, and then also looking at international research around sport as well, is that we know that by reducing the numbers, kids are actually getting more touches of the footy. They're having more opportunities to be engaged in the game. They're making more decisions. The scoring's actually higher. So they're kicking more goals. And ultimately what the kids tell us is that they're actually having more fun. So our numbers overall, when we have 15 aside versus 18 aside, we're actually seeing a greater retention of players in the game through that minor shift in the numbers on the field. So that's the reason we're doing it at the moment, and we're doing a fair bit of research on that as we sort of move through as well.
Yeah, Susan has actually just rung us up the last few minutes, Troy, just to clarify that she's talking school footy, public versus private schools.
Yeah.
And so that's, not sure if that falls under your jurisdiction, but that's a frustration that she has from that point of view. And I guess we both spoke last night, Carl and I, about we thought the reasoning would be a lack of numbers. That's why it was 15 aside. But you're indicating retention is the critical point here.
Yeah, absolutely, Skeet. And that's why we've sort of done it. The numbers that we see, and we actually, we've got a critical transition point when kids move from year six to year seven football. And what we see is by reducing the fact that the kids then have to go and find 18 aside once they move into year seven football, the retention of teams, number one, in the competitions is significantly higher. And also the retention of players is actually improved. So it's not to do with the numbers that we can get on the field. It's actually to do with the whole retention argument, which ultimately we don't have a problem in getting kids into AusKick and the like at the bottom end, the recruitment. It's the retention of players, particularly as they move through that youth age group. And all sports sort of face similar issues, particularly when they get to that 14, 15, 16 age group, is that, yeah, school becomes more important. They've got exams they've got to study for. They might have part-time employment. They get their driver's license, all these other things, all these life factors come into play, which has a significant impact in terms of their retention in community sport.
So, on Susan's complaint, why then, Troy, do private schools not have the same situation? Why is it that year eights and year nines and year tens are all playing with 18 aside?
Yeah, really good question, Carl. And it's one that we continually work with the PSA on. So the PSA are very independent of what we do from a community football point of view or in terms of our school competitions that we run. But we'll continue to advocate to the PSA and show them the research, show them the data around what we're doing around retention. One of the things that they don't have at school football is they don't have this retention issue that sits in there. So the kids that are in their school are generally going to play within their football team. So from our point of view, from a community footy point of view, we're really mindful of that. We want to retain as many kids going through as we possibly can. And we'll continue to advocate to the PSA about what's best practice in terms of sport development.
Yeah, just that seems to be the critical element there. You mentioned that you don't have control over what the PSA does, and other people in the community think, well, the commission is putting these rules in place for other school footy, but not PSA. So that is a distinction which needs to be made.
Yeah, absolutely, Skeet. And like I said, the PSA do a fantastic job. They've got some great coaches. They offer scholarships to players, etc. So they get these players through. But we want to continue to advocate, and we'll continue to work with the PSA schools on what is best practice in this area.
Troy, the only thing I would say, the WAFL, the AFL, the PSA, they all play with 18 players.
Yep.
Footy's played with 18 players, not 15 players. So why isn't it 18 players?
It's a good argument, Carl, and it's an argument we hear a lot of the time. And what we say is, well, you look at what is best practice in terms of what achieves the outcome of retaining players through. So we know that there's less than 1% of players that play community footy that will ever go on to play AFL. I think it's about 4% of players that go on to play waffle football. So what we're really mindful of is we need to make sure that we're creating the best environment and giving kids that 95 to 99% of kids that are never going to go on to play at that second level competition as in the waffle or within an AFL structure, we need to be making sure that we're providing the best environment that we possibly can that's going to retain them in the game for as long as possible. We know that once they get to 18 or 17, 18, so that year 11 and 12 age group, we shift into 18-a-side football. And then when they move into senior community, there's plenty of opportunity for that to occur as well.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Nah, anytime, guys. Appreciate your efforts that you put in around community sport.
Thanks, Kirky.
Good on you. Troy
Kirkham
there. 133-882. Hot topic. Thanks to Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's Best Restaurants, Hotels and Cafes, Skeet.
Yeah, no, look, and to be honest with you, it's great to hear, and hopefully Susan was listening to that as well, because he just unpacked it really well. Now, you might not agree, as you've questioned rightfully, Carl, about the 18-a-side position, but when you say that in year 11 and year 12, that changes and the 18-a-side exists, and then he mentions the numbers that go on to higher-level footy is very small. So retention, which I didn't realise, and I'm sure lots of people out there didn't until they heard that from Troy Kirkham there, is the main factor in having that 15-a-side. But I can understand, given the PSA rules are different to what's happening in other school footy, there is some confusion and, in some cases, like Susan, some frustration.
All right. We will take some calls straight after this. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Join in at any time. 133-882 is our number. Jordan Clark not too far away from joining us here on Sports Day as we head to Tor in Inglewood. G'day, Tor.
Hey guys, how are you? Just got a few comments on the 15-a-side games in juniors. I've been involved in juniors for a few years. I can understand both sides of the argument as well. Some of it's to do with the ground size. I've seen a year 8, year 9 game being played across the ground. It was so tight and small the ground that you can only fit 15 players a side there anyway. Mm. And you've got to consider the fact that some of the kids, when they're 10 years of age, they can have the physique of a 14-year-old and a 6-year-old. So if you have a bigger ground with less kids, you'll have open spaces, kids can touch the ball more. It won't be that close contested ball stuff that some kids will be too scared to go into. So I can see that point of view, but I'll argue with myself here, because the other point of view is that kids reaching their 14s and 15s, they've reached the development squads. The development squads have played in a bigger ground, and they play with 4 midfielders. If we can't have 18-a-side, why could we have at least 16-a-side? Because these kids will learn the craft of midfield stuff in 14s and 15s in development squads, then go back to the community football, and the coach can't do much more because all he's got is 3 guys in the middle. So that's where it's not right. If you can't do 18, can we at least push for 16-a-side? And if you want retention, then you don't train, and this is a lot of clubs are doing it, they're actually rostering kids to have a day off, a week off, because they can't fit them into their side. If you want retention, at least put in 1 extra player on the field by having 16, that's the other 2 wingers and 4 in the middle. We might be able to retain a lot more kids if they can play more football, because a lot are being turned away due to size of the teams.
Tour.
So just a thought anyway,
mate,
yeah.
I'm sorry, mate, but the more I hear and I listen to Troy and I hear Susan's argument from last night, now I'm hearing you, the more I keep thinking about it, given that all the kids are watching what happens above them in the waffle and the AFL, there's 18 on the field.
Yeah.
18. Yeah. 18 on the field. Hmm. There should be 18 on the field, particularly if they're teenagers. Yeah. I can understand if they're underage and running around and they're all around the footy and you want to restrict them in zones, which is what AFL is anyway, to be perfectly honest, tour half the time, and yeah. I call it. But, mate, if they're teenagers and they're 14, 15 years of age, a couple of years away from getting the ability from being drafted, they need to be playing with 18 on the field. End of story. I'm convinced.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you entirely. I agree with 18, but what I'm saying is we're not going to win that argument if we can't. At least can we press them to go for 16 a side rather than 15? Because, they, like I said, they get picked for these development squads. They get taught the craft of working in the midfield. Then they go back as a community, and the local coach can't do anything with them because he hasn't got, you know, the ruckman and three midfielders. He's only got a ruckman and two people in the middle.
So essentially,
at least 16 is what I'm pushing for.
I can hear that. But Carl, didn't you hear anything of what was said? I mean, retention is the issue. That's the only reason they're not.
Well, boo hoo, mate.
Well, hang on. How many hours of research have you done into this issue, Carl? Zero. Absolutely zero. You've done no research into it. You're going because at 18, and you just heard Troy say the percentages of players going on to play waffle or AFL level.
Did you not just hear Tor, and have you heard Susan and all the other callers saying they've got to leave people out of teams?
Have a listen to Tor.
Did you not just hear what he said?
And he said, I can see both sides of the argument. And he said, I want it from 15 to 16. So he didn't say 18. So maybe
I only see one side of the argument. The game of Australian rules is played with 18, right? There's one side of the argument from my perspective. It's played with 18, not 15, 18. Always has been. Rugby is played with 15. Let's go to Steve in Melville. G'day, Steve.
G'day, guys. My kids are long gone, but I'm an ex-president and life member of a junior football club, and this has been around for a long time, this issue. And let me tell you what happens. You have 15 a side, that's fine. So you have about 18 in a squad. So basically you got three on each line, 15 on the ground, three on the bench. But what happens when they get to the age group where they can actually play 18 a side? You don't have enough for a side. And if you run with 2 15 a side younger age groups, you have too many for one side. So the retention argument's like a rubbish, because then what happens is kids aren't getting a game because there's too many in the squad, so they drop out. Or you don't have enough players, and what happens is they end up going over to other clubs. And they don't go to another club who's struggling. They go to a club who's got a lot of good footballers. You end up with these super sides. And then when you have super sides, what happens? The weaker sides in the older age group, if you're a young guy and you're sitting there and you're getting flogged every week and the young girls at school are coming down watching you, what do? You stop playing footy. It's just a load of rubbish. This retention argument with 15 a side is just a load of rubbish.
And again,
I've seen it.
You've seen
it firsthand.
So you're saying if you had 18 aside at the age of 14, 15, 16, all the troubles are gone?
No, what happens is you have 18 in a squad. So at the moment, so you've got 15 on the ground, three on each line, and then you have three on the bench, and you can rotate them. It's easily rotatable. You have any more than that, it's very hard to rotate because kids end up not getting enough game time. But then when they move up to that age group where you need 18 on the field and you're four on the bench or whatever it is, you don't have enough players. Because if you've only got 18 in your squad, there will always be someone missing and you won't have enough players. But if you had 2 15 aside, so two younger age groups, and you got 18 in the squad, you've got 36 players. You can't have 2 18 player sides on the ground. So you've got to drop back to one in the older age groups, and you have too many players. So kids drop out because they're not getting the game.
Mm. No, Steve,
in my time, you could only have 25 in your squad on any one day. So again, if you've got 36 players because you've had to combine two of these younger sides into one, you've got a whole bunch of kids who don't get a game.
Good on you, Steve. Thanks for your call. Hey, Press, life member, everyone's passionate about this, including me, and it is going to be a hot debate for a little while on the back of what we've got this week. We're going to declare a break. On the other side, we're going to come back, and we are going to be joined by Jordan Clark from the Dockers. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Nice to have your company. Join in at any time. 133-882. And we would love to get you on the radio. But right now, we're going to have a yak to Jordan Clark. The Freo Dockers had their colours lowered last week against Gold Coast, but for the most part, they've been really impressive this season, and this young man's been playing some good footy. Geordie, welcome, mate. How you going?
How are you?
Yeah, going really well, mate. Obviously, last week didn't pan out the way you'd like, though.
No, it wasn't. A bit of a reality check in some degree that, we've still got a lot of work to do for where we want to be in the end of this year and obviously the near future as well.
Jordan, I'm watching the TV and I could just about tell midway through that first quarter, second term, you looked like you had concrete boots on. Obviously, the conditions weren't great, but you looked a bit flat. Is that, in hindsight, is that a fair call?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking to a few of the boys and myself, I honestly felt a bit out of sorts on the weekend, and I know a few boys did too. But in this day and age, and certainly game day, there's really no excuses. The game doesn't care how you feel when the ball's bounced. So it was just probably a lack of execution of our game style, and a bit of that as well. Obviously didn't go our way and we didn't get the result we wanted.
Last time you were beaten prior to that Gold Coast match was round two against St Kilda, and there were lots of Dockers fans really frustrated and they said, here we go again, and we were waiting for your response, and it came pretty quickly and emphatically, I think in the Derby from memory, and you put in a really good performance. So how confident are you that that is just a little pothole, a little blip on the radar last Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, as well, you got to look at the game as well. It's pretty even comp these days, and any team on their best day can knock anyone off. So, to their credit, Gold Coast are a pretty decent side when they're up and going, and we knew that, and we just weren't up to the challenge. But in terms of a response, yeah, we're looking to bounce back as quick as we can, and obviously hoping to take the 4 points this weekend. We learned a bit out of that game on the weekend, and we're hoping that we're going to be able to put it into practice this weekend, given the weather forecast. It looks like conditions are going to be pretty similar.
Jordan Clark, by the way, speaking to you from the Fremantle Dockers. One stat that has stunned a few of us that have looked at it time and time again from that match, 65 inside 50s to 35, yet you get beaten by 5-plus goals. It's extraordinary you had that many entries, but unfortunately just couldn't make things happen.
Yeah, I mean, that happens in footy, and it probably just goes to show our defence behind our attack probably wasn't up to scratch. I know they obviously had a lot less inside 50s than us, and were able to score a lot more than we did. And to some degree, that's probably on our back six, back seven, just not getting it done on game day. And coming out of that game, it's a thing we talked about during the week, and we're looking to make amends on it, that's for sure.
Michael Walters, Lloyd Meek, Sam Switkowski and Matt Tabban are all expected or named to return. Alex Pearce, there's a bit of a question mark or has been about him this week. From your unmedically trained eyes, Clarkey, what do you think? Do you think the acting captain will get up?
I expect that he probably will get up. Yeah, I'm not too across what the go is with Moose, but let's be honest, there's probably been a question mark over his head the last couple of weeks regarding his ankle and being a bit sore. But no, Moose is an ultimate professional, and I'm sure he'll give himself every chance to get up and play. And I certainly would love to have him playing alongside me, because you feel a lot safer when he's behind you, that's for sure.
I reckon he'll be playing, mate. No doubt about that. What about Collingwood, mate? They're at the crossroads. If they lose this game, it's going to be mathematically a lot more difficult. And there's nothing better as a football team when you roll someone else who all of a sudden maybe just won't be playing finals in a football season. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, well, obviously, I'm going to treat Collingwood as a very good side, and they've got some very good players, and they're playing some good footy of late. And like I said before, any team on any given day, if they're at their best, they can knock anyone off. So, we're just going to go into this game with really good prep this week, learning a few lessons from last week, and we're going to give it our best shot to try and get back on the winner's board and, take 4 points off them.
Geordie, there's a lot of young blokes in your team, and there's so much talk about age of teams. You know, someone went and did an article this week and they went through every single club, and obviously your club is down the bottom of that list. When it comes to birth certificates, how do you feel about that?
I think it's really exciting. Obviously we're a really young side and it's well documented, but just like any other side, we're sort of expected to perform as well. And that's probably been the sort of promising thing to see this year, is that we do have a lot of young blokes playing. We've got a lot of young, good talent still playing in Waffle that at any moment can come in and play their role as well and play really well at AFL level. And I think for the Freo future and for the fans out there that are probably listening, it's really exciting going forward.
Yeah, Jordan, you talk about those young players. We've seen Neil Erasmus, very exciting. And, of course, Jai Amos on debut and two goals first up was terrific. Matty Johnson, sounds like he might be very close to playing some Waffle footy for Peel. So have you seen him on the track? Is he moving well? And what impressions do you have of him?
Yeah, I mean, we did a lot of early work with him in the summer before he got injured, and he was right up there with his performances, right with Neil, right with Jai, and he's a high-end talent that was obviously drafted, and he's got a lot of upside, and he's going to be a very good player in the future, and I'm just excited to see him get back out there on the weekend and hopefully have a good day. He's probably come in and no youngster wants to be injured and miss the first half of their first AFL season on a list. So he's had it pretty tough with his injury and it's been a slow one for him. So, it'll be really good to see him back out there this weekend.
Thanks, Clarkie. Thanks for joining us, mate. Take care.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Jordan Clark from the Freo Dockers there, introducing the Kia EV6, unanimously judged the Wheels Car of the Year. It's leading the charge. Sports update, Ski.
Yes, briefly, halftime in the NRL. It is the Newcastle Knights 6, the Brisbane Broncos, who've been on fire of recent times, but no Adam Reynolds tonight, also 6. So 6 all, halftime NRL action on Thursday night.
We'll be back soon.
Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Now, Jason Kubler has won against Pedro Sonsa tonight at the French Open qualifying, so that is great news. So he is through, and he is the only remaining male. Tomorrow, Sione Mendes takes on Rebecca Marino on the women's side. So she is the only one left there. Skeet, just quickly, what about in the NRL?
Yes, so still half time, Carl. The players about to head out the sheds at 6 all, Newcastle against the Brisbane Broncos. But I've got to be honest, I got rolled in, beat the boys, and I'm a bit downhearted, which means that you have got the baton. You now have to run, and after being rolled a couple of weeks ago, despite being super confident, you have to show us some spine and get the job done for us, Carl.
All right, what number do you want then tonight?
Let's go with number 22.
22, okay, number 22. If you are caller 22 right now, 1-3-3-882 for the Toolkit Depot, your ultimate tax time destination, then you will be taking me on in Beat the Boys and enjoying an opportunity to win our magnificent grand final prize. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Now on Sports Day, it's time for Beat the Boys.
There it is. Beat the Boys Thursday night. It is a huge chance for you to get on the board and get a wonderful prize. Had a lot of calls, by the way, Carl, on 1-3-3-882. I was out there with Heater and he's answering phone after phone after phone. So we eventually got to call the number 22, and Scott from Henley Brook is on the line to take on Carl this week because, of course, I got rolled this time last Thursday. So, Scott, good evening to you, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Thanks, boys. Yeah, looking forward to having another go at beating you guys.
Okay, well, Carl, your form has been up and down with tipping, but you get your chance tonight to...
I've had one go. And I'm a donut.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've been not that great.
No, you were so good. Yeah, well, there was you dominated for a while, and then Adam Papalia came along and lost, and then you came back from your time away.
And I tipped the Giants against Carlton last week, and after I got beaten on Sunday, I promised myself in my footy tipping for the rest of the year, I would never tip GWS again until I looked at the fixtures this week and they're playing the Eagles. So I said, okay, let's start from scratch. Righto, let's get into this at 7:08 on 6PR. Friday night, now this, you've got to have one different here, Scott, to Carl, and this is going to be really interesting, the first game. It's Carlton up against the Sydney Swans at Marvel Stadium. So two sides, fourth and fifth respectively on the table. Carl, where are you heading with this one?
Well, Zach Williams goes out. Nunes has been managed. Kemp's been omitted. Young and Stocker come in. A couple of inexperienced players. O'Riordan comes back into the Swans side. Robottom is out suspended. I reckon the Swans are going to get the Blues. That's my view. I think that the mark is pretty even here. Carlton are the side that is maybe surprising a few people, but Sydney have been thereabouts. Look, they were disappointing in a couple of their performances, particularly against Gold Coast, but then when Gold Coast go and beat Freo, maybe Gold Coast are better than what we think. But for me right now, I'm going the Swans.
Scotty.
Yeah, well, this is probably the closest game of the round, I think. So I'll have to go for Carlton, I think, at home.
There we go. That's, I guess, pretty smart from Scotty, because the other matches, at least on paper, look not one-sided, but they're far more simple at first glance. So there we have it. Carlton for Scott. Carl's gone with the Sydney Swans. Our second match up for discussion is on Saturday between Geelong and Port Adelaide down at GMHBA Stadium. Jed Buse and Gary Rowan comes back into the lineup for the Cats. Tom Jonas and Trent Dumont are the big ins for Port Adelaide. Tough to win down there at Geelong.
Yeah, but Port have won four in a row. So if they want to be playing finals, they need to go to a place like Geelong, like Fremantle did, and beat Geelong. Geelong haven't had it all their own way. They are an ageing side. In fact, the oldest side in the competition, if you look at the numbers that have been portrayed this week, but I'm going to go for them at home, and I think that they'll be good enough to win on Saturday.
Scott?
Yeah, Cats for me, as well.
Fair enough. Bulldogs, Gold Coast, Mars Stadium, Ballarat. Haven't seen the forecast, but normally pretty frigid that part of the world as we get towards winter. It is Adam Treloar's 200th game. Tim O'Brien comes in for the Dogs. Duray's out with illness, and Rourke Smith is a medic. So Darcy McPherson, the only exclusion for the Suns. Carl?
Yeah, question mark around the Doggies. They've not been playing great footy. They're on the precipice of the top eight, and Gold Coast's last two wins have been really good against Sydney and Freo, but I'm going to go for the Dogs.
Scotty?
Yeah, dogs for me and Ballarat as well,
Okay, we won't probably waste too much time on this one. This is the reverse blockbuster of the weekend. North Melbourne up against Melbourne at Marvel Stadium.
Melbourne.
Thank you, Carl. And Scotty?
Melbourne.
It is Ben Brown's 150th game, just to give it some kudos for this match. But, gee, North Melbourne have been terrible, and this is another percentage builder perhaps coming up for Melbourne.
And you know what? He used to play for North Melbourne, and they got rid of him.
I know. Yeah.
Figure that.
He's the happiest footballer running around in Australia at the moment. Adelaide and the Saints. This is happening on a Saturday night at the Adelaide Oval. And Riley Thilthorpe, their young gun recruit, comes into the lineup along with Lachlan Murphy. So they're the ins for them. And Nasir Wanganeen is back in for the Saints. Who do you like here, the Saints or the Crows, Carl?
Well, this is the sort of game that St Kilda will lose. Away from home, they lose Higgins' concussion, they lose Jack Steele, who is their heart and soul, and he's going to be out for a fair while. So for me, I'm going to go for Adelaide at home.
In his 200th game, Brad Hill, by the way, so congratulations to the former Docker / Hawk. Scott?
Well, and I was thinking the Saints.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll take that.
Thinking or tipping?
Picking the Saints,
Okay. Mm. Okay. Who'd you go with, Carl? I was just looking down the page here.
Adelaide.
Okay. So we've got two different now. Now a bit of spice.
Yeah.
There we go,
yeah.
Baby. Something to like about this now.
Spicy.
Dreamtime. Richmond, Essendon, MCG. Josh Kipkus comes back in for the Tigers. Robbie Tarrant also returns. Devon Smith is back for the Bombers. Can you make a case for Essendon, Carl, after what we've seen? Apart from that Hawthorn second half, they've been pretty average.
Yeah. Well, they're planning for 2023. Like, they've been disappointing. Cutler, who hasn't been that bad. Caldwell gets injured. And Richmond have won their last three in a row. Dusty comes back, and his last couple of weeks have been okay. Look, Pickett suspended will, I think, hurt him a little bit. Bolter's been a really good player for them, but I think Richmond will be too good in what is just a magnificent event. I mean, we saw it here in Western Australia last year. Skeet, you and I broadcast the game. It was awesome. And let's hope that there's a huge crowd at the MCG for this game.
And Shea Bolton, who lit it up at that Dreamtime game. And we know that Morris Rioli Jr. Is going to be playing. And we know Daniel Rioli's there. Wow. If Shea Bolton does what he did against the Eagles a couple of weeks ago, it will be a joy to watch. Who do you like, Scotty?
Well, now I've got to go three, don't I? So I'll have to pick the Bombers for this one.
Okay. You might be overthinking this here, but yeah. Fair enough.
No, I probably blew it on the last one. But anyway, that's all right.
No. Keep rolling the dice. Keep rolling the dice, and Carl's little silly grin you might be able to wipe off his face on Sunday night. Let's go the Giants and the Eagles. We mentioned Hoff. Bazo True into the squad, possible debut for at least one of them, maybe. Luke Shuey, Jack Williams, Andrew Gaff. I haven't mentioned Jamie Cripps, by the way. That illness, I believe, is an infection in his leg. So he's gone. Liam Ryan suspended. Luke Foley injured. Heap of ins for the Giants, including Brander. Jared Brander against his old club, Carl.
Oh, goodness me. I mean, two clubs really struggling. 2-7, 1-7. But you just got to go for GWS at home.
Yeah, Giants for me, yep.
Yep, okay, both Giants, which I think you're obliged to do given the form of the Eagles. Hawthorn and Brisbane, this is at UTAS Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Ned Long to make his debut for the Hawks. They've got a heap of ins, including Liam Shields. Tom Mitchell returns as well for the Lions. Lester, Fulton, Robertson and Robertson. Robinson and Robertson both in for the Lions.
Brisbane.
Yeah, Brisbane, yep, for me.
And the final game... Fremantle, Walters, Meek, Switkowski and Tabata, as mentioned, into the side. Josh Tracy's been dropped. And for the Pies, Rusko, Elliott, Murphy, Pendlebury, McInnes, Cox, Ginnivan all return. Madgen's out with that shoulder. Begg's been dropped. McRae's the medi-sub. And Callum L. Brown has been axed.
Well, Fremantle, this will be a challenge. It won't be easy. Collingwood are no slouches. They've been up and down in their form. They're a team in transition like Fremantle. And so don't just expect the Purple Army to rock up on the weekend and win, but I'm going to tip Freo.
Yep. Freo. Hoping for an upset, but I think it'll be Freo.
There we have it. Three different. Scotty, best of luck on the weekend. I'm sure you'll be paying close attention.
Yeah. No worries. Thanks,
go well. Hopefully, Scotty can... give you a run for your money, Carl, as we try and hand out a couple more prizes for the Beat the Boys. 133-882, and Scotty, caller number 22, has got his selections in the bank. Just quickly, some news headlines thanks to Polaris. Thank you, Australia, for making Polaris Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand 21 years in a row. In the NRL, it's Brisbane 12, Newcastle 6. There's 25 minutes remaining in that one.
Beautiful. Well, we need to get to a break, and after that break, we are going to come back and have a chat to Jake Florenca. What a whirlwind it's been for him. Played for West Coast, played for WA. He's now nominated for the mid-season draft, and now he's back playing waffle for South Fremantle. We'll have a chat to him next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels car of the year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get into our WAFL preview. Thanks to your local Isuzu dealer, the Isuzu D-Max is born to live. And a bloke who's had a really good couple of weeks. He played for the West Coast Eagles. He's played for Western Australia in the state game and acquitted himself really well in what was a fantastic contest against South Australia. And we do know is a nomination for the AFL mid-season draft. His name is Jake Florenka. He plays for the South Fremantle Football Club. And he joins us here on Sports Day. Jake, welcome. How are you going, mate?
Hey lads, how we going?
I'm going all right, mate. What a whirlwind couple of weeks it's been for you though. How you feeling and how's it been for you?
It's been a pretty crazy experience. Obviously with the Eagles and then the state debut the week after. But I'm feeling pretty good at the moment.
Jake, if we'd said to you, even at the start of this season, with talk of top-up players and uncertainty around AFL list, that you would make your AFL debut, what would you have said in reply?
Oh, mate, I would have said, are you crazy?
So the transformation from that, and now people talking, of course, about you potentially being picked up in the mid-season draft, of which you're eligible now, that must really raise your spirits.
Yeah, it does. It does give me a lot of confidence. But just at the moment, it's just a bit of noise. So I don't really pay much attention to that. And whatever happens, happens.
Now, just about the mid-season draft, so why did you have to get approved? Because I saw that you were only approved in the last couple of days. Did you not nominate previously? Do you know how that bit works,
yeah,
mate, or not?
Because you have to be nominated for the previous draft. Right. And so last November or whatever it was, and I didn't nominate for it. And then after like the cutoff, you have to ask for exemptions. And then I got my manager to sort out the exemption for me, which luckily he got.
Jake, it's only a small sample size having played up there at the Gabba, but do you feel that you have what it takes now physically and the pace of the game to adjust if you're given the chance?
Yeah, definitely, mate. Just having a little taste of it makes me want more, but I think I can play up to the AFL standards, and I think I showed my strengths in that game, which is the contested ball and tackling. So I'm glad I showed that, but yeah, I think I can play to that level.
And speaking of which, we mentioned the eight players that have been given exemptions, including Wade Dirksen from Peel, and one of your teammates, Zach Strom, who he's played on the wing, in the ruck, down forward, backline. He's a versatile player. I'm sure you'd believe if he was given a long stint at AFL level, he could fill a role somewhere as well.
Yeah, for sure. He's such a professional, Zach. He does all the things that you need to do on and off the field. And yeah, I think he could give AFL club a lot of positive. But I mean, there's a lot of waffle players in the comp at the moment that could have a real crack at AFL.
And great vision going back to your AFL debut, calling your mum. Probably not the most natural feeling, having a camera on you while you did that. But the family response was terrific. Can you talk us through that 24 hours?
Yeah, so obviously I didn't tell my mum till that video. But the day before, I told my girlfriend, and she started crying on the phone. And she bought tickets straight away to come over. And then, yeah, that video, I told my mum, and she was pretty shocked. But it was such a special moment. And end up getting my mum and my girlfriend and my girlfriend's mum over to watch the game, which was very special. And, yeah, my mum has had a tough 12 months, so just to see her there in the stands was very, very special for me.
Yeah, lovely moment. That, just given we're not sure what your future holds, do you get to keep the jumper you wore on the night or do you have to give it back to the property man?
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. And, I'm certainly pushing up as many young players like yourself. I think those that have played league footy and have played it consistently and rack them up like you do in the WAFL deserve an opportunity. I'm glad that you've had it and I'm glad that you're being talked about, mate. So that's fantastic individually. What about South Fremantle, though, mate? It's a really tight waffle competition, which is fantastic from a waffle perspective. But all of a sudden you're in fourth place and you're 2-2 and Perth are 2-2 and they're down in eighth spot. Subiaco are 1-3, the defending premiers who you played in the grand final. You played Peel this week. Work that out.
Yeah. No, it's such a tight comp this year. And obviously with the fixturing, the top four sides have all played each other. But yeah, it has been a tough start to the year with COVID and stuff. But I think most of our boys have had it. I haven't had it yet, so touch wood. But yeah, no, it's a really good competition this year. And obviously you'll see Subiaco coming up after the ladder any day now. So yeah, no, it's really good. I think I get it at the end of the year. So they'll keep it till the end of the year, and then I'm pretty sure they'll hand it to me.
Yeah. Well, mate, hopefully you get it before the end of the year, because if I'm picking somebody, I'm picking you, and I'm letting you keep that jumper, and I hope the West Coast Eagles invest in you, mate. I hear that they're keen, so I just hope that that dream comes true, mate. I can hear it in your voice that you'd love the opportunity, and we've already seen you in action. We know you can measure up, and thank you very much for joining us tonight, mate, and go get them on the weekend against Peel and get a kick, okay?
Thanks a lot, lads. Appreciate it.
Good on you. Jake Florinka here on Sports Day, and he's convinced me, Skeet. I don't know about you.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen a bit of him in the WAFL in the past couple of years. He knows how to get the footy. He's one of those players that the Eagles need at the moment for a variety of reasons, not the least of which their experienced mids are down and out and injured and unable to I guess, provide the leadership they're looking for. But he's a guy that can get plenty of the footy. And as you mentioned, the waffle season, pretty competitive. And this week, your old team, Subiaco, heading up to the Goldfields to take on Swan Districts in Kalgoorlie for just, I think, the second time. And we know the talent that's come out of Kalgoorlie over the years. Dom Sheed more recently. We've had Dean Camp. The list goes on. Lukey Toyer, a lot of players currently, including Ryan Borshett, who's going to be part of that team on Saturday afternoon up there at Sir Richard Moore Oval. So I reckon the locals will get there in big numbers as well.
Absolutely, mate. Let's just quickly go through our tips then at Sir Richard Moore Oval. Who's going to win, Subi or Swans?
Even though Subi's been a bit up and down and a bit poor, I think they'll get up on the weekend.
All right, me too. Claremont against East Perth?
Claremont. Tigers aberration last week against Swans, but we'll bounce back.
Not sure, but I'm going to go for Claremont. South Fremantle and Peel?
Good game. Peel's been really good. Going to lean towards South, but only just.
Yeah, I think I am too. West Perth and West Coast, I think we're both going to be going for West Perth there at Pendonette Stadium, which is up at Joondalup. And Perth and East Fremantle at Mineral Resources Park.
Yeah, we're tipping East Fremantle here. Every time I tip the Demons, they go pear-shaped. So we're going to think the Sharks might just get the job done. They've been pretty good for most of this season.
All right, there you go, our WAFL preview. Thanks to your local Isuzu dealer. Go your own way with the Isuzu D-Max and MUX. Visit your local Isuzu ute dealer today. Skeet, on this day for Baron O'Day, because the little things are everything.
Yes, in 2019 at Optus Stadium, Perth Glory were beaten in the A-League Grand Final by Sydney FC, going down in penalties 4-1. I was there. It was heartbreaking to watch in front of 57,000 people. We just couldn't buy a penalty when it counted. Unfortunately, that was another chance that slipped through our fingers in a Grand Final situation. But the Glory still searching for some success, I guess, in more recent times in the A-League. On this day for Bower and O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything.
Now, Liam Santamaria is going to join us next. Tomorrow, free agency opens in the NBL. We'll talk about the chance of Canberra fielding a side back in the NBL. So looking forward to having a chat to Liam next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels car of the year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Thanks to Repco, from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks for 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion, and this man never stops. His name is Liam Santamaria, pro basketball broadcaster and writer. NBL free agency is on tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Western Standard Time, everyone. And, of course, we've just had the completion of the NBL Grand Final Series, and Liam's been right in the thick of it. How are you, mate? You going well?
Oh, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah, look, mate. Geez, there's no rest in the world of the NBL these days. The Grand Final series wrapped a few days ago. The champions in the Sydney Kings were crowned, and free agency ready to tip off tomorrow.
Well, just back to the Grand Final series. It was the Sydney Kings' first victory in 17 years. So it was a fair while between drinks, to be honest. I didn't realise it was that long.
Yeah, it was. 2005, that was the end of their three-peat. They won under Brian Goorjian back then. Of course, they actually had a bit of a rough trot for a few years there when they fell out of the league in 08, 09, and came back a couple of years later and had a rough stretch of about 9 years there, the Kings, where
they didn't win a playoff game, only qualified for the postseason twice. And then a few years back, things changed in the Harbour City when Andrew Bogut signed on. So, you know, he brought some success, some trips back to the postseason. Not a championship, though. And, of course, they came so close a couple of years ago when they made the grand final series, that COVID-interrupted series, that the Wildcats were handed the championship. But this was their year. Dominant force throughout the second half of the season, the Kings, and undefeated throughout the postseason, and thoroughly deserving champion.
Yeah, the NBL, I reckon, delighted with the Kings winning and the Jack Jumpers getting to the grand final in their first season. So tick, tick, I would have thought from headquarters. Free agency, Liam, and lots of big names up for discussion, but parochially and from WA, we're thinking of Vic Law and the Wildcats and where he will end up next year.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, with a lot of these imports, you know, especially they come over here, if they do well, like Vic Law, all NBL first team, he was absolutely outstanding for the Wildcats this season. They start to think, all right, well, maybe I can parlay that back into another NBA deal. Of course, he played some NBA minutes not too long ago. And so he should be thinking along those lines, which makes it hard to re-sign those kind of guys quickly. Oftentimes they'll say, look, let's keep talking, but, you know, I'm going to sort of try to test the waters and see if I can land an NBA deal over the course of the offseason. So that I dare say that would be the situation with Vic Law. Now, the GMs, you know, GM of basketball, Danny Mills, the CEO, Troy Georgiou, the head coach, Scott Morrison, they'll be saying to Vic, why don't we just sign now with an NBA out? All right, so just so we can get it on paper that if you're not going to be in the association, you're going to be with us. So those conversations will be going on with his representatives. But I tell you, they've got some other big names as well. Todd Blanchfield, of course, third leading scorer for the Wildcats last season. He's been good for them the last couple of years. He's a free agent. Their starting centre, Matt Hodgson. Their captain, Jesse Wagstaff. We wait to see what's going to happen with him moving forward. So, yeah, plenty of intrigue around the Wildcats as free agency opens tomorrow.
Well, and Liam, some of the other big names. I mean, MVP and Jalen Adams, Josh Adams, Antonius Cleveland, just to mention a few. So there's so many other big names available as well. When do you think the dominoes, or how quickly do you think the dominoes will start to fall tomorrow?
Good question, because that is how it plays. You know, there are some sort of really big kind of key targets. And, you know, once they sort of sign on, then everything else can start to fall into place. So if there is a bit of a delay in some of those key guys, then things could become a little bit of a trickle. But if they fall quickly, then, you know, we can see how things play out from there. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see. With the imports, it's not surprising to see a whole bunch of imports, guys who played really well this season coming out of contract, because they traditionally will sign a one-year deal. You know, if you can get a guy like Bryce Cotton on multi-year deals like the Wildcats have been able to do, well, you're doing very well. So a lot of those guys coming out of contract, but the locals, guys like Xavier Cooks, grand final MVP, Joe Lualua-Chul, all NBL first team, a couple of guys out of contract with New Zealand right now, Finn Delaney, Will McDowell-White. These are the big local names that, you know, that hopefully we see land somewhere quickly, because then everything else will start to fall into place.
All right, mate. Before I let's get out here with one last one around the NBA, the rumours around yesterday, or suggestions actually coming from head office, in fact, in the NBL, is that Canberra will be back within 2 years.
Wouldn't that be good? Geez, they really make it happen. And Larry Kesselman, Jeremy Lohliga, the NBL heavy hitters. When you start to see things like that, I mean, it really wasn't all that long ago, those early words were being spoken about Tasmania, and then Wooshka, we just had the Jack Jumpers in the grand final. So they do manage to turn things around pretty quickly. Now, the key, of course, is government support. That's what was in place down there in Tasmania that helped get the arena renovated and brought up to standard and brought that team back. So that'll be the big question, whether the support there in the ACT is there for a return for a Canberra team. But, NBL certainly have shown that they can make it happen. And, you know, we've seen the success of expansion in recent years.
That's it, the big time, the NBA Finals, West Finals Game 1. Now, three-part question. You've got the Warriors 112 over Dallas 87, Steph Curry 21 points. We've got game two tomorrow between Miami and Boston with the Heat leading 1-0. And thirdly, what happened to your Phoenix Suns? They were deplorable.
Oh, well, let's talk about the first two, and we might just let the third one go through to the keeper, because that was all kinds of rough. Game seven, we just didn't show up, the Suns. So, yeah, we've got to lick our wounds over the off-season. Good conference finals, though, that we've got. Yeah, Butler and the Heat up against the Celtics. I expect the Heat to make their way through that, but going to be a fascinating series. And, yeah, the Warriors flexed their muscle today, didn't they? Curry and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. I think in the end they're going to be too strong for the Mavs. But no doubt Luka Doncic will bounce back. He was a little quiet today. They had him kind of under wraps, but we saw in that previous series against Phoenix what he's capable of doing. So a couple of good conference finals before we get to the big time.
Thank you, Liam, for your time. We appreciate it, mate. Take care.
Cheers, fellas.
Liam Santa Maria, pro basketball broadcaster and writer, NBL free agency tomorrow morning. We'll keep an eye on that. Thanks to Repco, from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks. For 100 years, Repco has been driven by passion. We'll have a chat to Brad Brider next. He's a blind cricketer. It's the International Cricket Inclusion Series, which is about to get underway. We'll have a yak to him next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day, International Cricket Inclusion Series. And a man by the name of Brad Brider joins us here on Sports Day. He is a blind cricketer and he has been part of the emerging leaders in the Aussie group and joins us here on Sports Day. Brad, welcome. How are you going?
Yeah, not going too bad, thanks, mate.
Now, just tell us, mate, why cricket?
We play a few sports, actually, but I think the thing about cricket that's really good is that it's a team sport, and that's something... When you have a disability, you sort of lack that mateship a bit growing up. And so, yeah, it's something where, you know, you got 11 of you out in the field and you're all striving towards that one goal.
You're the youngest player to make a debut for Australia back in 2013. You're only 16 years old when you played against South Africa. What are the memories from that day like?
Oh, it was pretty surreal. So my whole family's from South Africa. So it was, you know, it already felt really nice being there. But, yeah, just, you know, we played in Cape Town to the mountain to the back there. Really nice scenic place. And, you know, I think I was I'm somewhere in the 70s, cap for Australia. And someone who, Linty, who was in the squad, done a lot to help me get to where I was, putting my cap. And it was a really special moment.
So, Brad, for those that aren't across blind cricketers and the challenges they face, the obvious being the visual side of it, can you tell us how you overcome these and what you're given in terms of chances to perfect your sport in terms of playing blind cricket?
Yeah, so blind cricket is pretty much the same, except we play with a hard plastic white ball with ball bearings in it, so that makes a noise, and we bowl underarm. It still, you know, still gets up there. We still bowl about 100 k's an hour, which is pretty quick when you can only sees a ball about three quarters to halfway down the pitch. The ball's got to bounce once before and once after halfway, but other than that, it's pretty well the same game. There's a lot more communication. That's the big thing. The keeper's a very important part of the game. When the ball gets hit, you know, they're yelling straight out to that fielder, left, right, and they're sort of guiding them to the ball, and then they throw it in from there. So, yeah, it's a very similar game. It just has a few small changes like that.
Now, Brad, is everyone that's involved in the national disability squads, are they all blind or are there various disabilities here? And what is coming up?
Yeah, so in the series, there's three teams. We've got our Australian blind, deaf and ID squads. So we all play separately. Those two sides are playing. The deaf and ID boys are playing against the English squads and we're playing against the Kiwis. We don't intend to do too much together because obviously our games are a bit different, but, you know, we're all aware of each other and respect, you know, where we've all come from to get to this point.
And the competition comes up, I believe, in about the early part of June, 8 to 17 of June, and you've got five T20s and three ODIs. So there's a fair bit of cricket there.
Yeah, it's been, so we haven't played international cricket as the blind team since 2018. So it's been a long journey with, you know, we had the Ashes. We were meant to go to England a few years ago, cancelled on us for obvious reasons with COVID. But yeah, the boys are just, we're a really tight group. We got about nine of us under 25. So yeah, we're just ready to crack in and win some games, hopefully.
Absolutely. Now, you and your dad helped establish some opportunities for blind cricketers in WA, which is terrific. But we notice on your little resume we've been handed that you're a pastry chef by trade. Now, that is fascinating. And the enjoyment level of that compared to getting out and having a batter a bowl?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's quite the same enjoyment. I definitely love what I do. It's good that I've been able to sort of find that passion. My boss has been really helpful, and then the guys who taught me early in TAFE were fantastic as well. But yeah, it's something I think a lot of people find cooking is a real good way to relax. And, you know, if you can do something you love, I'm sure you guys have it. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Absolutely, mate. Good on you. Well, thank you for sharing a few moments with us tonight here on Sports Day. And Brad, all the best.
Cheers, mate.
Brad Brighter there, blind cricketer, and looking forward to that competition getting underway 8 to 17 of June. The deaf, blind and intellectually disabled national teams to take on the internationals, England and New Zealand, as we just heard from our guest Brad Brighter here on Sports Day. We need to clear a commitment on the other side, come back, and it'll be time to get your pens ready to write down our tips, because we've been going all right when it comes to our chase for charity the last couple of weeks. We'll do that and we'll update the latest sports betting odds with David Short next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Time now to catch up with Tab Touch's David Short. Welcome, Shorty.
G'day, Carl. Skeet. Nice to be with you, fellas. How are you tonight?
We're terrific. Let's jump into the AFL first up. And a huge round of footy coming our way beginning tomorrow night.
There's some really good games, some tough games for the tipsters this weekend. Kicking off with Friday night footy, Carlton, Sydney, 195, the Blues, the Swannies at 185. On Saturday, it's Geelong, 143, Port Adelaide, 280, Western Bulldogs, 143. Been good support around for the Gold Coast. They're in from 315 to 280. North Melbourne take on Melbourne, really lopsided. 101, the Ds, the Kangas, $17. That line at 66.5 points. Adelaide play host to St Kilda, 310 for the Crows, 137 the Saints, Richmond up against Essendon, 126 for the Tigers. The Bombers, $3.80 outsiders for the Dreamtime clash. GWS hosting West Coast, $1.10 for the Giants. The Coasters at $7, line betting there, 39.5. Hawthorn, 340 outsiders, taking on Brisbane at 132. The final game sees Freo playing host to Collingwood, 124 the Dockers. The Pies at $4.10, line betting on that game at 24.5 points.
NBA, the finals, the playoffs starting to heat up, Shorty.
Big time. And there's a couple of excellent playoff games to look forward to both Friday and Saturday morning. 8:30 tip-off on Friday. Boston, $2.40 away to Miami at $1.60. And on Saturday morning, Dallas, they're also on the road. $3.15 outsiders taking on Golden State, $1.38. The line there at 6.5 points.
Bit to like about the racing world around the country, beginning at Morphettville. We look at race 7, the Lee Stakes, and the Goodwood, a Group 1 event.
Indeed, really good racing, particularly in Queensland and South Australia this weekend. They're at Morphettville in the Group 3 Lee Stakes. Dallasan, our $3 favourite. Exolita's on the second line at $5. And Sosie Bond, $6 on the third line. Cherry Tortoni's been specced at longer odds, 7.50 into 7 there on the fourth line of betting. While in the Group 1 feature, we see a really open market for the Goodwood. Extreme Warrior with Jamie Carr aboard, our current $4.60 favourite, in from $4.80. Behemoth, 8 into 7. The Inferno, 9 and firm. The Astrologist, 12 into 10. And Saboteur Excel has been 18 into $13. Bit of money there, Bella Nipotina as well, 16 into $13. But a wide open affair of the Goodwood there at Morphettville on Saturday.
Now we head up to Doom and Shorty. More rain forecast, already a heavy 8, and we're going to focus in on races 6, 7 and 8. See TAB, BRC, Sprint, the Doomben Cup and the Roses.
Yeah, all really good races, and you want to do your form for the horses that can get through the heavy going. Buffalo River is one of those horses, 2 out of 3 on the heavy, and is the $5 favourite to take out the Group 3 BRC Sprint, in from $5.50 already. Taxu, $6.50 and firm. Soxagon's there as an $8.50 chance. onto the Group 1 Doomben Cup. Well, Zaki Stifel's betting here, understandable. Been an absolute star since arriving in Australia. Took out the Hollandale Stakes at its most recent performance and dominates betting, as we touched on, at $1.50 in from $1.55. Polly Gray loves these sorts of conditions. Some thread at $8 and Huetor, former French galloper, on the third line at $11. And the final race to look at there, the Group 2, the Roses. Barb Raider, our $4.20 favourite. Smirk at $6.50 and Belle Savoir at $9.
And we finish off with the feature at Belmont. It comes up race number 8, the Championship Series final for the country horses. And this is very competitive.
Certainly is. If you find the winner, the value will take care of itself. Speed Dream, $4.60 to $5. Power of St. George, $6.50 to $6. Stella Fair, $8.50 to $7. Dunbar, $7.50 and Firm. Double Spice, $9 into $8. Garage Days is there as a $10 chance. But very tricky, the feature race of the day there, the Provincial Championship Series final at Belmont.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thanks so much, guys. Good luck, punters.
Good on you. David Short there, and those with the touch, choose Tab Touch. Bet your bets and download the Tab Touch app today. Gamble responsibly and call Gamblers Help on 1800 858 858. Now, let's get into our Chase for Charity, brought to you by Greyhounds WA, and we are joined by James Broadhurst. Welcome back, James. How are you going?
Good, yeah, good to be back with you guys.
Now, the Group 2 WA Derby final at Cannington on Saturday. How's it shaping up?
Yeah, it's shaping to be an absolute ripper of a race, guys, I've got to say. We saw some really nice heats last weekend. Hurricane Taylor comes into this as the fastest qualifier. He had a really epic struggle with a greyhound by the name of Hinto. Both these dogs, really nice up-and-coming chases. But Hurricane Taylor, after finding the lead, was headed by Hinto and then kicked again to be able to win that. Pretty impressive effort by that dog. Those two, once again, likely to be the main candidates to win this one from boxes one and two.
We've got four heats of the WA Oaks as well, JB.
Yeah, this is another really good series, guys. Good chases across the board here. Thought the first heat was probably the most interesting one. Greyhound by the name of Refined clocked a really impressive time last Wednesday. Does come into this race as a pretty inexperienced chaser and does take on a pretty handy field here.
Let's jump straight into your best bets for the weekend, James.
Yeah, for Mandra on Friday night, guys, I'm heading towards race 4, number 2, Quartararo, the old stager. Look, not as reliable as he has been in the past, but still more than capable. So race 4, number 2, Quartararo on Friday. For Saturday night, also, I'm going towards race 4, number 2, and that is the final of the Derby. I'm sticking with Hurricane Taylor here, despite the fact there's a lot of competition in this field. That's race 4, number 2, the WA Derby, on Saturday night.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Take care, and we'll have a chat to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
James Broadhurst there, and that is thanks to Greyhounds WA, as is our Chase for Charity, Race Against Motor Neurone Disease. Steve, which way are you going this week?
I'll keep it short and sweet. Hurricane Taylor, the two dog, it's won its past three. $3.80 fixed, Tab Touch in the Derby. I'll have 25 each way.
All right. I reckon I should be having about 100 each way by now on Lacrimosa. I don't know whether I'll be allowed to, but that's what I'm going for this week. It's race 7, number 1, Lacrimosa, a dog that I think can win on an each way basis, though. Now, just ahead of our night shift, which will be hosted by Todd Johnson. He'll take you right through until midnight. The PGA Championship is about to tee off. Cameron Davis, Cameron Smith, Minwoo Lee, Matt Jones, Adam Scott, Mark Leishman, Lucas Herbert and Jason Day flying the Australian flag. Tomorrow night you'll have the Perth Glory Awards, and we've also got continuing action here on 882 6BR when it comes to the AFL. So we're looking forward to sinking our teeth into Friday night footy, which will get you underway for the weekend.
Yeah, Carlton versus Sydney. It should be a beauty from Marvel Stadium. Look forward to your call on that one, Carl.
Yep, it'll be fantastic, mate. Thank you very much to you for joining in this week, and we will see you from 6 o'clock on Monday.